So I think we'll go ahead and get started. Just in case everybody didn't see the sign outside, what I'm going to be digging into here is the data behind sort of what makes a poor quality call when it's due to network issues. Sometimes people are a little unsure of how that relates to what it looks like on the line and how that relates to some of these additional things. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So my name is Aaron Steele. I'm a consultant with Microsoft in our services division. I've been with Microsoft here for about 3.5 years, and before that, I worked for a partner. I've been doing, in case you guys haven't seen my videos, I've been doing Link and sort of LCS stuff since the LCS OCS days. So with that, in this session, really what I'm trying to get for you guys is to explain what tools you have available to yourselves to as a Link administrator, to troubleshoot and diagnose call quality issues impacted that are really coming from your network. I want to make sure you guys know what tools are out there and what the right tool is for the right task in that job. Okay. Here's a true scenario, right? It's, hey, hotshot Link admin, you just got somebody from, hey, maybe CQM surfaced this, maybe your service desk surfaced it. You've got a site that's reporting call quality issues. Where do you start? It's a big question, so where do you start? Start here. This is this little matrix that we've got about when you're looking at audio quality or audio reliability. It's a slide that I got from somebody else about what are the common things and what are the things that can sort of impact these things. So when you're talking about audio quality, first thing is you have to define what you mean by a poor quality call. All you got from your service desk was that the quality of the call was poor. Are they telling you it's noise? Is it echo? Is it one-way audio? What are they defining as poor? It's a thing you have to understand before you can figure out what you're going to then troubleshoot in your environment. From there, we've got a couple of these mappings that takes it to, if it's this, it's likely this as the root cause. So if it's echo, it can be caused by the network, it can be caused by your devices, it can be caused by the performance of your Link servers. Okay? So this is just a nice little overview that we've got, somebody else came up with, I just am using it here, about when you're troubleshooting voice and when it comes to that, some of the things that you want to think about. Okay? This is a little tool matrix that I came up with that sort of classifies the tools that we're going to be talking about across the top, and classifies the different places that you're going to look for these problems across the left. And it tries to give you a little quick reference such that if you realize you're looking, you need to do log parsing around an endpoint, or you end up getting to logs around an endpoint, that's the type of thing. If you end up getting to, hey, to troubleshoot server problems, I probably want to go for server logging and QoE reports and maybe a network capture and maybe log parsing. So it's this little thing, as we're talking about the different classes of tools, where those tools fit and what they're useful for. First, though, we start with preemptive tools. Because your network admin or your service desk guy told you, you had a bunch of failed calls. Was there something you could have done to avoid that? The truth is, how is your service desk handling that? Is your service desk relying on user logs? Are they relying on the logs of the client to be able to troubleshoot and diagnose these failed calls? Or is your service desk telling your users to go use the pre-call diagnostics tools to test out the quality of their network and give you the feedback that you need? These logs that these things spit out, the logs that the client spit out, can be really helpful to diagnose some of these things that you may not be seeing on your network. The second piece of that, though, and there is a desktop app. I've got links to both of these tools in the slide deck when you go and download it. How could that report to your service desk have been prevented? Could you have done something to notice that those calls were going to start being poor before you got that rash of calls into your service desk? You can use CQM, and we'll talk about CQM in just a minute, to proactively monitor and your managed network and keep those things under in check. The other piece of this is it's helpful to educate your users how these pre-call diagnostics tools can help them, such that they can understand when they're at a Starbucks and they want to make a call, is that network going to be the best place to make that call from? Make sense? So, the issue happened. Where do we see it? We see it either in the monitoring reports or we see it in the call quality methodology. One of those two is going to surface it. They tie together. One doesn't replace the other. But hopefully, you're also not just from your service desk, but you're going to be able to surface these things in those reports. How many are not familiar with this, of what a call data report shows from a sort of packet loss, jitter, problem perspective? How many, this is the first time you've seen this out of your monitoring server? Okay, good. It's a good thing to see. Note the amount of packet loss on the receiving side of that network. 51% of packets were being lost on the inbound stream for this user. Probably a poor quality call, huh? Yeah. So when a QoE report snapshot or sort of details poor quality calls, when it's trying to surface that for you, it's going to be doing this across five different metrics. Those metrics are really going to be packet loss greater than 10%, jitter greater than 30, round trip greater than 500 milliseconds, NMOS or network MOS degradation of greater than 1, and concealed samples averages greater than 7%. But for those of you who went to the CQM session, one of the things you noted was the only one they care about is packet loss. And they'll start alerting a call as poor quality when it has 1% packet loss, not 10%. That call quality, it's just experience that's told us network and packet loss impact your network, impact your call quality really heavily. So let's surface those things that impact the quality the most. Okay? Call quality methodology. This is a couple of slides I've got here just to orient people to what this is. Again, I don't do this justice compared to what Andrew and Jens did this morning. Call quality methodology, it looks at quality in three ways. It looks at this from a server's perspective, that is, utilizing the KHIs, the key health indicators, we try to filter out to a place where your servers are healthy and your servers aren't the cause of the problem. We then move into, is the network the cause of the problem, and we start looking at the different places that these streams exist on the network. Do these streams exist between the link client and the audio video service, or the AVMCU? Are they call quality issues between there and the mediation? Are they there between there and the front end? Where on your network are these issues really occurring, or in what segment? Because if your front end and the mediation server are in the same rack, would you expect to have it packet loss between those two? No, that'd be a bad thing. So let's surface that for you to solve those easy, low-hanging, quick problem spots. And last, but certainly not least, endpoints. All those things that we talked about on that first page about echo, garbled noise, they can be your headset. They can be a PC that's got an oversubscribed CPU. They can be lots of things on that endpoint. You could have interpreted poor quality call because the person you were talking to was in a bad area for cell service and it had nothing to do with link. Right? So it's useful to understand your endpoints when you do talk about this. I don't know if you guys noticed or have talked to anybody at the Sonos booth, but Sonos has released an update to their 1000 and 2000 SBCs where they're actually delivering QoE data back into the QoE database from their service as well. So it's now not just that you're getting it from your link clients and your link front ends, but you're also getting QoE data from that last hop before the PSTN. Okay. So call quality, it really gets down to, as Andrew said, 10 commandments, or these 10 elements across three dimensions. Those three dimensions being the server plant, the endpoint, and the last mile. What they really tried to do was those dimensions that we're looking at have a prioritized focus area, and there are a set of 9 SQL queries that really try to get you to look at those different aspects of those things. And then the rest are a set of trend lines that go across those different aspects. The other piece of this, though, is understanding they've got thresholds in their mind as to what defines poor quality. If in your environment you have a different threshold, maybe you don't like 1%. Maybe you like 0.5%. Maybe you want to add network latency into your query because in your network you know you don't have latency. So when latency shows up, you want to surface it. That's why it's important to understand those. And Jens has a deeper dive session. He had a second session on CQM where he dug into the queries pretty heavily. So that's a good thing to go and review as well, where he gets into the queries that are used in here, how they come, how they work, what pieces there are. Last about CQM, it's a mindset. It's not a tool set. Across all those different aspects, you want to really take it through this cycle. You want to assert what you define as quality, right? Figure out what your thresholds are, how you're going to measure that. Get to that by prioritizing your problem areas and then fixing them, and then maintain that. Because the other piece that's interesting here is configuration drift. You've defined your gold standard, you've gotten there, everything's happy. Tomorrow, somebody's going to replace a piece of equipment. That could make it so your calls start suffering, because they didn't understand that when they replaced that router, they needed to apply the QoE policies to it that are yours and make your calls work. So that's my little spiel on CQM. Again, I don't do it justice. Go see those guys, and they will do a way better job of it. We're moving here into servers and clients, logs. There's a lot of tools to look at logs in Link. It's kind of silly, but there's this new Link 2013 CLS logging tool that does logging across a bunch of things and has a bunch of different modes. There's the older OCS logger tool that came with OCS and worked with Link Server 2010. There's the client logs, understanding what data is going to be in those client logs and how to look at those. There's Snooper, the tool that we have to parse, display, and interact with those logs that are generated by all those three above tools. And sorry, but last and way not least, what's the event viewer telling you? The event viewer in Link is really chatty when things aren't going well. Don't forget to look at it. You may find it telling you exactly what's wrong. We'll dig into these a little. So CLS is a unified logging interface because what we were finding was in large distributed pools of servers and large distributed environments, it was complex to start logging on all the servers, replicate the event, stop logging on all the servers, find the server that had your traffic, pull those logs over, and parse those logs, right? That's our old life. CLS logging, it gives us the ability to start a scenario-based troubleshooting on all the servers in a pool or all the pools in my environment. One of the modes of that, though, is this always-on mode. In this always-on mode, it's going to keep a series of logs at a fairly low level or a fairly basic level, but they'll catch major problems in your environment without you having to then go start logging and replicate the problem. So it is really recommended that you turn always on logging on in your environment. Just and realize it's not going to keep a ton of logs. If you want to see some of these tools in action, CLS Logger, Scott Stubberfield has a session tomorrow at 9:45. Go see that. He'll play with these tools and walk you through them in way more depth than I'm going to. There's a set of common built-in scenarios there. Things like inbound and outbound routing, inbound and outbound calling. There's some different scenarios that are there. Those scenarios turn up the specific pieces of the environment's logging to show you those things in specific. It's important to remember that you can only have one scenario running at any one time, the exception to that being always on. You can have always on running and another scenario. Okay? And then there's a set of custom scenarios, that is, things like XDS replication and persistent chat aren't in any of the built-in scenarios. So if you have a need to log those on these large distributed environments, you're going to end up creating custom scenarios to do that for yourself in that environment. OCS Logger. This is that single server-based logging, hasn't really been updated aside from to work since the OCS days, but it still does what it does, right? You fire that up on a server, you can tell it logs stuff to this folder, and it generates those logs. The problem is you have to know what components to log on and what level you want to log with. That's part of why CLS Logger is there. CLS logging is that more unified pool view of logging. If you know it's only happening on this one server and you can isolate the traffic to this one server and it's a point in time thing, maybe you're still better off firing up OCS Logger and getting the logs out of there. Do remember, though, OCS Logger will not run and start generating logs if Always On is running. It'll start complaining at you that I can't run and do anything because the other logging tool is running. Only one thing can bind to that logging interface. I've got, when you get this in the notes and in the references, there's a ton of links and more information for you guys on these tools and how to use them in case I'm not doing them justice. Client logging. So you guys are familiar with this checkbox in your link client. The logging here, when we set it to full, it doesn't change anything of what goes in the SIP stack logs on your client, the UCC API logs. It actually, if you put it on full, it also captures the media stack ETL logs that PSS might need to troubleshoot a media stack problem. Okay? If you put it on light, it doesn't capture that. And this does, so this will only ever keep, even on the, or on the full, it'll only ever keep on a client 150 megs of logs at a time, three log files up to 50 megs each, and then it rotates and captures another 150, or another 50, and then rotates them out. I've given in here some shortcut links to the folders in which these things trace on, because we did some very nice stuff in Link 2013 and put it about six levels deeper than it was in Link 2010. So I tried to give you a little shortcut to get to that folder for yourselves. and there's a little log, or there's a little interface for that. I honestly recommend using client policy to set this to full for all your users. If you've got recent desktops that have anything decent size hard drives, just keep the logging on it full. It means that when you're trying to troubleshoot something, if they reported it recently, you don't have to get them to recreate it. You've got the log of it happening. Okay. Log parsing and consumption. So those were all the ways and tools we've generated logs. Now we want to look at those logs. Snooper. Who is not familiar with what Snooper is and where it comes from? Good. I'm glad everybody in here knows what Snooper is. So get the latest version of Snooper from the debugging tools. For some reason, in the latest rev of the build of it, though, we told you you have to uninstall the old version first. It won't install over it. Sorry. If for some reason you can't use Snooper, because remember, Snooper is 64-bit only, if you've still got 32-bit clients out there that you need to do local log analysis on for some reason, there's this tool called Text Analysis Tool that has a 32-bit build that'll do some of the stuff. It's not as feature-rich as Snooper, but it's better than Notepad. Because that's all your always your fallback, right? Oh, I don't have Snooper, I can use Notepad. Notepad's ugly to open UCC API logs in. They wrap weird, you don't get any highlighting, it's not pretty. So I'm gonna jump in here and do a bit of a demo of Snooper. Sort of try and run through what our options are and what things we can do and how they look. So give me just a second. Is that readable to everybody? Okay. So this is Snooper 2013. This is a little log that I captured of a conversation I was having with somebody. We can jump over here to the Messages tab. And we've got a message here. 142139. Right here. Okay. This is the beginning of a conversation I was having with somebody. One of the nice things about this tool in 2013 is I have this ladder diagram. That's what that call looked like in the conversation. You can see all the places it goes, all the places it comes back, how my flows, where the invites are. You get an interaction between my clients here, and if you combine this log with a log from the front end that's doing my work for me, you can get a real ladder diagram about this, not just my interaction with the Edge server. Okay. But this is one of the nice things we added to 2013 to give you this view of what that is. So you walk through this call, and this isn't really so much about network quality, but if you walk through this and you start seeing a more complex diagram, it helps you to understand the flow of that communication. It helps you understand where are the places I need to troubleshoot these possible network issues, these possible places. I don't want to talk to that person, do you? Yeah, sorry, it's my Microsoft corporate laptop, so I was signed into Link. Okay, so as you look through it and sort of look through here, you can mouse over one of these progress reports and see what it looked like, see how it happened, see what the protocols in use were. And I can look through here, and in my session progress, I can start digging into these things. So that's that ladder diagram. In here, one of the things I can search for is MS Diagnostics. It's pretty common that people sort of think, hey, I got an MS Diagnostic out of a call log. It must be something bad. No. We do MS Diagnostics for things like I was attempting to route somewhere for you. We spit out these diagnostic codes all the time. When you're looking at, is a diagnostic code bad or good? It's really about, is that diagnostic code showing up in your top failures report in your monitoring server? That's where we surface those really bad diagnostic codes that you want to concentrate on. But diagnostic codes and bad ones in top failures reports are calls that didn't work, not calls that worked and sounded bad. Okay? One of the things, though, is before you start looking at are the calls sounding good or sounding bad, they should all work. Okay. So then, if I get rid of this query, and I look at my VQ report, how many people are familiar with what a VQ report contains and sort of where it comes from? Okay, so a VQ report is a blob of data in XML format that your client generates at the end of the call, and then in a SIP service request, fires that off to your link server that your client was signed into and says, do something with this for me, thank you. Doesn't send it much more than that, but that VQ report goes into the QoE database and gets consumed and gets parsed, and now you can query on it and report on it and run CQM against it. Okay? So, what data is in that? I can start digging here into the media line. And this is actually something new in Snooper 2013. In Snooper 2010, this same data is there, right? Because it's in the UCC API logs. But it's there as an XML tag. I had to copy it all out, put it into some other tool to parse and interact with. Snooper 2013, I just bind that message with the service request. VQR report is expandable. I can start digging into it. I can start looking at my inbound streams and my outbound streams and looking at my network. Hey, look, I had jitter. I had packet loss. The interesting thing to report here about that packet loss, that's if you hit one on here, that's 100% packet loss. Okay, so this was 0.14% packet loss, or 1.4% packet loss. But still, CQM would have said this was a bad quality call. But again, all those things that we look at, delay, jitter, packet loss, we can look at concealed samples. We can see all those right in this report that we've pulled right from a client that was generating this traffic. So it's a case where if you're dealing with Link Online, there are cases where you can't get this data out of the monitoring server. You can't do as much to query quality out of the monitoring reports in Link Online, multi-tenant at least. You can get it right from here. You can pull that stuff right from the client. Sorry, just seeing how we're doing on time. So when you guys looked at the slide before, would this call have been called poor in the monitoring server? Anybody? Monitoring server. All right, so the monitoring server would not have, CQM would have. Right? So this was a call that, to me, I was on this call, it sounded just fine. CQM would have had me digging into this call as to why. It's not a bad thing, but it just means you need to understand that when you're looking at this stuff, CQM's a little more prescriptive about packet loss impacts quality. So we want to rid our environment of it as much as possible. Okay. So that's Snooper. And now we're going to come back here.
Will that show you media bypass or bypass being used
in codec selection? Yeah. Yeah, it will show you the codec that was used. The strange part about that is it shows you the last codec that was being used in the call, because that's what we recorded at the end of the call, effectively. It doesn't show you if you negotiated one codec at the beginning of the call and then switched to another codec later on the call. We may not show that change of codec during the call. In terms of whether you're doing media bypass or not, that's more going to be about what you negotiated your traffic with, who you were talking to, is a better place to understand that than this VQ report. Okay? The VQ report is about the voice quality. It's not whether it was doing media bypass or not, but you could find that. You could find out by what peer you were talking to. But it's not going to surface that in some sort of tick box. Hey, you didn't have media bypass here, so I'm going to flag you for it. Little note here about XML Notepad. If for some reason you can't get the new version of Snooper or you want some other way to look at that VQ report data, there's XML Notepad 2007. It's still a very useful tool to dig into XML data, and these VQ reports are still XML data. So I just put it here as a reference for you. Okay. We're now going to start looking at network capture. So you've now figured out, yeah, people are telling me the calls are sounding bad, and they're sounding bad because I'm losing packets. Now, how do I figure out where I'm losing packets? I'm losing packets somewhere, but I'm guessing they're not just falling out onto the street. So, what tools do we have available? We have Network Monitor 3.4 with the link parsers. You may or may not know, we've written a replacement to Network Monitor called Microsoft Message Analyzer, but they haven't done a lot of work to make that link specific yet. Okay? It's based on the OPN framework, so the Open Parser network framework. That tool, the new Message Analyzer, it natively out of the box understands SIP, SDP, TURN, RTCP, RTP, right? So if you're using this to look at the logs on a front end, you're not going to have to do anything to see the detail behind RTCP on that front end. You're not going to have to do anything to understand the SDP negotiation that's going on. With that said, most people are still using Network Monitor 3.4 and the link parsers or Wireshark. I'm not going to talk much more about Wireshark in this deck, but it's another tool that people commonly use to troubleshoot this. One important thing that I like to remind people is whether you capture it in Wireshark or Network Monitor, they can open each other's files. They're .cap files that they port. So if your network guy likes to use Wireshark, okay, let him. If you want to look at this and you want to use Message Analyzer or Network Monitor, okay, look at them. You can still share logs. You can still collaborate on these things. Okay? So from a how to troubleshoot packet loss, this is just a set of high-level steps that we talk about when you're talking about troubleshooting packet loss, because you have to quantify the problem. You have to make it a little smaller than some general statement of, I have packet loss that I need to troubleshoot. You have to get that to a smaller bucket, otherwise you're never going to get there. But the truth is we try to capture simultaneous network traces between both server endpoints and both endpoints. So if it's that I've got link client A in site 1 and I've got link client B in site 2, I probably want to capture those paths all across that. If I'm trying to do this packet capture and I want to isolate that I'm losing packets on one of those links, because it's likely that I'm losing it on one of those links, not all of those links. Okay. Next, you filter that network capture by your RTP and RTCP ports, so you get only the traffic you're concerned with. You then try and identify your RTCP sender and receiver report blocks. So again, RTCP gets the data, or QoE and the VQR reports get the data they're putting into QoE, from the RTCP reports of packet loss. So RTCP is pulling that in, VQ is collecting that, the media stack is processing it, and then it's put into QoE for you to report on. It's all a nice little bundle for us. We then verify our sequence numbers end-to-end to determine which segment of that has packet loss, right? What sequence isn't arriving at the destination that was sent, that kind of thing. And then we evaluate the RTCP payload for packets immediately preceding the reported packet loss to determine the cause. So what happened right before we saw packet loss that caused that packet loss? This is a, how readable is that? Pretty good? Okay. So we had a caller to mediation to gateway issue. Somebody was calling the PSTN out from our network, and we were having poor quality, and we needed to figure out which one of those segments had the poor quality. So we captured and got those different audio streams, and what we figured out is our major set was here. Huh. Between mediation and gateway. I don't like that. I really don't like that I'm getting 5% packet loss between my mediation server and the gateway. But doing these ladder diagrams and flowing out the traffic like this helps you to isolate those things. So if you look at your QoE reports for the caller to mediation, there will be one set of streams there. You can look at those and see, oh, that one didn't have any. Look at the other ones. Hey, that one had some. Or look at the packet loss. So this is just that little flow to show you. Even though we're reporting at the call, at the hole up, we're reporting the packet loss down here, because all he's seeing is this little bit of packet loss. Some of it's getting concealed to him. Through looking at it in this flow, you can try to get yourself to understand where the packet loss is really occurring and where it's not. Okay? So, network monitor. I'm not going to demo message analyzer. I'm going to look at network monitor, because it's got the link parsers, and what I'm going to be looking at is a client capture. I'm not looking at a server capture. Okay? So, sorry. I had to wait. Okay. That's not too bad. So one of the things to remember here is how to show your link parsers and enable those. So that's how you turn on those link parsers, is you actually go into your tools options, you go over to the parser profiles, and you turn on your link parsers. That's a step you don't really have to do in Message Analyzer, because it understands all those protocols and communications natively. The use case right now for Network Monitor to troubleshoot some of this stuff, or Message Analyzer, isn't there nearly as much. It doesn't understand some of the stuff that this still does. Okay? So we're going to search IPv4.addresses or .address equal to 131.107.255.91. Okay. This is all of my client's traffic to my edge server at the initiation of a phone call or a call that I was attempting to make. You can see that it's all this turn ICE traffic. Right, so I see stun binding requests and stun binding replies simply by filtering on my edge server, right, as an IP address. I don't have to do much else to start looking at how this media is flowing and where I'm talking to. You can tell right here, I was outside and I was negotiating with my edge and I was trying to get ports allocated for me on the edge server. Okay. And as you flow through this on that communication with the edge, you see right here, I started actually doing RTP, SRTCP. I told it, hey, you gave me a port. I want to use that port. Here's some media. Shove that media right out at it. And then I have this RTP stream that's coming in, and I can see I'm RT audio wideband because I captured this on the client. I get all this data, right, before it's been encrypted in that communication. So it's still secure, but I'm sitting on the client that's doing that security, so I can get that. Same thing that happens on the server. There are cases where on the server, you'll need to insert your SSL cert to do this kind of work. Wireshark's and Network Monitor have that same requirement that to get some of this on the server, because even though I'm seeing the RTP, if you look here, the SRTCP is still encrypted. So I know it's RTP, but I can't play it and I can't control it. Okay. As we're looking through here, though, I can actually start filtering on the different functions inside of Tern. And I can start looking at these. So these are Tern allocation errors. This is where I asked the edge server, hey, could you open up some ports for me? And it said, no, I can't do that. Not the ports you want. I'm not doing that. Sorry. So you start digging into the protocols of that media negotiation here on the wire. I changed this a little. And I see allocation responses, which is this. I asked the edge server, hey, could you do some work for me? And it said, yep, I can do that. I'm going to map you here, and I've got a port, and I've got an IP and a port here you can talk to. You want to try and talk to it now? Okay. And anybody who hasn't seen Thomas Binder's session on ICE and media negotiation that happened yesterday, go review it. It's way more detailed than I have about how Edge and how the candidates do media negotiation. I'm breezing through it compared to what he does, but this is just a little short of what's going on here. Okay? No. Too many things running. Sorry about that. Okay. So, where were we? I was going to look at this. Oh. Sorry, went too fast. So remote address attribute type of 0 by 12. This is Tern telling me that I've got a remote address here, and these are the ports that it's trying to tell me to, hey, try and use in those communications you're now going to give me. And these are going to be the reflexive ports, the ports that it's going to host for me in that communication. And all this happened because I had MRAS tokens, and there's that whole stuff that happened before this that I'm not capturing here, right? Happened during client sign-in. So I'm going to go and pull open a snooper log that was happening at the same time here. Okay, so I have the snooper log that's happening at pretty much the same time as my network monitor, which if you're replicating a problem, you're probably going to have. You're probably going to get client logs coinciding with your network capture, coinciding with your server capture, and trying to bring all those together to get a clear picture of where the problem is and what I need to do to solve it. Okay? So, in here, if I look at my remote dash candidate, I can see right here, there's a candidate. There's the candidate that I'm going to talk to, that I'm going to try and negotiate media with. Right? 131.107.174.157 on 32.8.10. I wonder if I can find that same thing here. I'm sure I can. So we're going to go over here. We're going to look at this.
That candidate is
for... Oh, it's... Yeah. No, it's in here. Hold on. So what I can see, though, so what I see here is I see conversations in here. And there's a conversation ID 244 that I'm looking for in this. Sorry. There's 234. Sorry, one second. Hold on. Wrong file. That's better. There. There's the conversation I was looking for. And there is that IP address communication I was looking at. And when I look at it, there's my 32.8.10 negotiated. So I have traffic between my client and that negotiated remote person I was talking to. Right? So I've tied these two things together. So what my client log told me is what I see in the network capture logs, is what I see if I filter on these things. Okay. But back to what we were saying is filtering, bringing these things together. So that's about this of bringing your... So one of the ways we've done this is by bringing together the IP conversations with the UDP conversations that are a part of it. Right, to filter out and see all those things in one unified view in the interface, because it gives you, you can then start looking at frames and sequences in your network capture to see where you're missing packets and where you're dropping packets. Okay. And all I'm doing here, really, is these conversation IDs down here, 244, 245, and 253, that's what I'm filtering on in here. So conversation dot, first one is an IPv4 conversation. These next two are UDP type conversations, and they all have conversation IDs. So all I'm doing is trying to isolate that single conversation in my view so I don't have to start looking at it in these ways. Okay. Okay. So there's my conversation. And I can start looking at it and start walking through how that goes. I can start looking through and start looking at frame numbers and start looking at the pieces of my UDP channel as I might be losing those. What we're looking at here, though, is as you start to see it in the media stream, as you start counting, I want to find a specific place in here where I've got traffic and it starts dropping. There it is. Right here. Sequences. Right? The sequence number here is I see 5294, 5295, 5296. And what I start looking at as I'm looking through this is I end up dropping about every 10th frame in my sequences here. I'm actually losing 10% of my packets in the RTP right there in the line. I'm just dropping those packets. Truth is, I generated this problem. I used a little tool called Newt that we've got, and I told it to generate 10% packet loss on my network. And it did. This is a client-side capture.
This is leaving the client.
Yep, leaving and coming back in. Leaving and or coming back in.
Okay. So it's the client side, you're seeing a 10%.
Yep. I actually generated it in both directions, so.
Got it.
But yeah, this is what that would look like on the line. You aren't going to find a root cause other than binary on the system saying at the network layer, drop every 10th packet. That's exactly it, right? Now I know that my monitoring server has its data that matches my QoE, that matches my log on the client that I'm getting out of my client, so I know I can trust all those things, and I know I can then go back to my network admin and say, look, I'm actually seeing packet loss on the line in this network segment. Can you and I work together to figure out what the root cause of that is? Because right now, I need you to look at it at places I can't. A lot of this is, as you're working with your network admins and working through CQM and working through these methodologies to get to quality calls, it's trying to get away from the finger pointing of your app sucks and your network sucks and getting to the quality for our users sucks, and let's both of us figure out how we can make it better. Right? So, I'm nearly done. Just a little summary here for you, and I'll run through a few of their pieces here. I do hope I was able to show you what tools you have out there and what is available to you to look at these things, a little bit about how to use them and where you might use them. I hope I was able to demonstrate how to use some of these things and what they look like. I do have some screenshots in hidden slides in some of these here so that you can see these things as I was looking at them rather than having to go look at a recording of me doing this. Okay? Then I've got a bunch of references in here for you. So I've got blogs on monitoring server report on link audio quality metrics. I've got a piece on here on decrypting SSL with Wireshark. I've got stuff in here on how to use Network Monitor to do the same thing, right? I've got a couple of TechNet documents. Again, they're in the notes on the deck. They're links littered throughout it that'll give you more pieces of information about most of these things and just let you dig into these things a little deeper. the network guide. So if you haven't seen the network guide, go look at it. It has a wealth of information. Some of the information I've got in here about how to troubleshoot packet loss is from Appendix D in that network guide. Very, very useful document. It walks through the CQM. It walks through packet loss. It was really a document that was written and targeted at CCIEs who are now running Link. Okay. Helpful links. That top one there is really cool. It's a test of SIP. It's a set of phone numbers that answer calls that you can then negotiate media with. ULaw hosts a phone number that you can call. The people who invented the ULaw protocol, right? Hosts a phone number that you can call. You can SIP to SIP call it, or you can dial a phone number and it'll answer, and you can place these test calls. Okay. Then there's a link here to Sonus, the Sonus announcement, where they've announced that they're releasing to insert QoE records into the CDR, or insert their QoE data into the QoE reports. Okay. I've got a little reference in here for Wireshark, how to do some of these things in Wireshark, how to change your UDP data that Wireshark captured into RTP, because Wireshark doesn't natively do that. What you can do with Wireshark's from a telephony analysis point of view, how you can play that media. Fun thing to remember, though, media is encrypted. This plays garble. This plays static. Okay, so it's fun, it's interesting, but this is a good thing if you want to show your network admin that our media is secure. Pull this up, show him. No, I don't actually have your call. Okay, thank you. That's my presentation. The Microsoft Pavilion has demos, speaker bars, speakers, demos. It's after 3 o'clock, so they've opened the bar. Go see more demos. The attendee party is tonight. Hands-on labs, there's an LRS lab. You can access those labs. There's the MyLink app, and please submit your feedback. Thank you so much.